Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7. Now it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you." But it came about in the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all of your enemies from before you, and I'll make you a great name like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly. Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies, the Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I'll be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of man. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that thou hast brought me this far? And yet this was insignificant in thine eyes, O Lord God. For thou hast spoken also of the house of thy servant concerning the distant future, and this is the custom of man, O Lord God. And again, what more can David say to thee? For thou knowest thy servant, O Lord God. For the sake of thy word and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all this greatness to let thy servant know. For this reason thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee, and there is no God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and do a great thing for thee, and awesome things for thy land. Before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed for thyself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For thou hast established for thyself thy people Israel as thine own people forever, and thou, O Lord, has become their God. Now therefore, O Lord, the word thou hast spoken concerning thy servant in his house, confirm it forever, and do as thou hast spoken, that thy name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And may the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, hast made a revelation to thy servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore thy servant has found courage to pray this prayer to thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words are truth, and thou hast promised this good thing to thy servant. Now therefore, may it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing may the house of thy servant be blessed forever." Amen. So, do you remember previously, Hiram built David his house. And according to the architecture of that time, this was an incredible house. This was a grand house. This was, compared to all the other buildings made at the time, was an incredible structure. And David obviously took great pride in that. And not only that, the wood that was used was cedar. Now, that was not so common back then. And cedar was the most expensive, the most rarest of woods. And during this time in this area, it would not be so common. I mean, it was an incredible structure. And so David, as he's living in this structure, he starts feeling a little guilty. And he says, man, I'm in this beautiful, architecturally pleasant palace. So he decides that he's going to do this. So he calls Nathan the prophet, and he tells Nathan of his plans. And Nathan says in verse 3, go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you. The Lord was not with David in this regard. I mean, God was with David, but according to this plan, the Lord was not with David. And it's kind of an interesting little episode. So the next day, God wakes up Nathan, and thankfully, it happened right afterwards. So David didn't make any plans, and he didn't put a down payment, you know, on wood or anything like that. And so God has saved him practically. But this is a good time to talk about a little something here. Have you ever heard this phrase before? Sometimes what's good is the enemy of God's best. Sometimes what's good is the enemy of God's best. When we think of things that are happening in our life, things that are bad, well, you know, all right, nope, we're not going to have anything to do with this. But how the devil seduces us is actually what's good. Remember Eve in the garden? That apple looks good. That's what he said. It's good. It's pleasing to the eyes. But sometimes what's good, not all the time, but sometimes what's good, what seems right, what seems logical, what follows the logical intellectual pattern, many times those things are actually the enemy of God's best. And so the reason how we can discern that is to obviously go before the Lord. And so Nathan, he makes this mistake by not going before the Lord. I mean, the plan that David has is a good plan. I think most pious, righteous Israelites would say that is a great idea. Yes, here is the king lives in a palace, but the king of all kings lives in a tent. This is kind of jacked up. This is messed up in some way. And so it sounds like a really good, really righteous, really pious plan. But it was not God's plan. It was man's plan. And so he turns about and he begins to relay this thing, but also it gives an opportunity for God to encourage David in this thing. And so, I mean, just think about that at times. Sometimes what's good is the enemy of God's best. I don't know about you, but I don't want what's just good. This is good. Or we use this phrase, this is good enough, which means basically it's not really what you want. But it's good enough. Have you ever gone and, you know, maybe you went shopping and they didn't quite have your size or something? You say, oh, okay, I'll take it. It's just good enough. For sure, you don't want to do this when it comes to relationships, right? That guy, yeah, he's good enough. I mean, you don't want anything or that girl, you know, but she's good enough. You don't ever want that to happen in our lives. And so the way that we can maneuver ourselves out of that is to simply always go to the Lord. And so God spares Nathan because he shares not a prophetic word. In this case, he shares a pathetic word to David. So Nathan goes and the question, you know, go to my servant. And look at God's response. Who says God doesn't have a sense of humor? God says, did I ask you to build me a house? You know, like, did I ask any of my sons, any of my tribes to ever build me a house? But it's not like a, who do you think you are? I mean, actually, God blesses him and he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to establish your throne forever. I want to make sure you have peace on all sides. It's almost like, I'm sure we do this. Do you ever butter people up before you send them crashing down? And so he's buttering him up. He says, yeah, you're going to be protected on all sides, all these, but you will not build my house. And that is reserved for actually your seed, your son. Now, that goes into another interesting thing. He says here, and I mean, in this translation, this doesn't actually read very well, but in verse 13 it says, "And he, when your days are complete," this is verse 12, "and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. And when he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men." But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the dual nature of prophecy. Sometimes prophecy is right now, and sometimes it also pertains to the future. This is one of these instances. The right now, he's referring to Solomon. Now, in choosing Solomon, because he says the seed, and he's talking about his seed after he becomes king. So before he becomes king, remember he has Amnon, Shephtiah, Absalom, Caleb. He's got like five or six sons from all different. And according to the custom of that time, actually Amnon should be the king. He should be because he's the firstborn. But God is establishing his throne from that moment forward. And so it's actually from the time that he's king in Jerusalem. So who's the first son? It's Solomon. And that is not custom. That is not a standard operating procedure. That is divine decree. And so Solomon gets chosen out from all the other sons that are there. And quite honestly, that causes a lot of conflict later on for David. And a lot of it is actually because David didn't really handle himself very well in his sons. And we'll talk about that moving forward. And so he's in this place, but what we also know that this is obviously also talking about his son Jesus that will also come from the word is seed, which we know that he's a direct descendant. Actually, both him and Mary are direct descendant of David, the son of Jesse. And so we see that it's interchange. It goes back and forth. It says his throne is going to be established. He's talking about Solomon and more particularly Jesus. But then he goes back to Solomon because he says when he does iniquity, he'll be disciple. We know that Jesus didn't have any iniquity. And so it's this dual nature of this word that pertains to the easier way to say the natural and then the supernatural that's also to come. And Hebrews 1:8 really expresses the throne of David, basically talking about the son in that way. And so David turns, and I just want to focus on this beginning of this prayer for us for the rest of the time. And the rest of it, David's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. But he says, look what he says. And then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house? Thou hast brought me this far. Could very well be one of the most humblest prayers in all of the Bible. God says, you're going to have peace, all sides, you're going to be prosperous. Your seed, your kingdom. Now remember, just before David, it belonged to Saul, and God snatched it from Saul and passed it over to David. First king, he's the second king. And so seemingly not much job security according to the pattern that's at hand here. And God says, I'm going to establish your throne forever. From your seed is going to be basically an enduring kingdom. And eventually, like I said, it's talking about Jesus. And so David sees basically, Lord, who am I and who is my house and my family that you should basically show me this favor? And he says this, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? What a powerful prayer. God, you have watched me all this way, and by your grace, you have brought me to this place in my life. It's such a humble prayer. And a prayer like this includes all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. When he was running away from Saul and all these things, and he looks back with joy and he says, God, you have brought me thus far. Brothers and sisters, some of us, we worry a lot about the future. We worry a lot about what tomorrow brings. Can I afford to have more kids? Lord, will I have a good career? Lord, will I get married? You know, and all these, and listen, totally legitimate reasons, you know. But look back, God has brought you this far, so far. God has been faithful in our lives to bring you this far. And you're not doing that bad. You're here. You know, you're healthy. God's given you a ministry. God's given you a church and friends and family and all these things. God's brought you this far. And that's such a contrast to the world that says, I did it, right? I brought myself this far. I got this job. I'm the one that, you guys understand what I'm saying, right? The world is so different than what David's expressing. The world says, well, I'm smart, and I went and got my education, and, you know, I worked hard, and I did this, and I did that, and so this is me. And David, he says, it says, who am I, Lord, and who is my family that you have brought me this far to this place in my life? And you have been a faithful God, a real faithful Father. And the Lord that brought you this far, with all the successes and triumphs, but also with all the trials and tribulations, through the peaks in the mountains and the valleys in the the lows in the valleys, God has brought you this far. And God will continue to watch over you. I pray that we would have this humble disposition like David and say, Lord, who am I? Who am I that you should show me this favor? You know who else had very similar understanding? It's Jesus' mom, Mary. Remember what she said? She said the same thing. She says, who am I that I should receive such favor from the Lord? It's the same idea. It's kind of, you know, Mary got it from her, you know, great, 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 great grandfather, you know, during the time. I'm probably missing a couple greats in between there. But it's that disposition of humility. And I pray that today as we go into prayer, that would be our heart. Lord, who am I? Who am I? Who is my family? God, you brought me this far. And I went through some hard times, but Lord, you brought me out of that. Remember the psalm, David, in his psalm, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it's interesting, he says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember, I mean, if you want me to teach on Psalm 23 before, notice that he walked through it. He was in the valley, but he went through it. And then he knows that God is his God. Why? Because God walked with him through the valley. Remember, it was just the shadow of death. You know, shadow never killed anybody. Okay? You know, and other stuff, knives, guns, they kill. But the shadow, in the history of mankind, trust me, shadow never killed anybody. That's all the enemy has. It's the shadow of death. The walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he walked through it. Yeah, obviously, with God. They walked through it together. And when we say, God, you've brought me thus far, what we're saying is, Lord, I've endured some of the bad stuff, but God, I'm right here, and you brought me thus far. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou has brought me this far? Let's pray. We serve a faithful God. A faithful God doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory and everything goes according to plan. We have the enemy of our soul that wants to rob, kill, and destroy. But he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so this morning, let's thank him for bringing us this far. In the peaks and in the valleys, we've endured through his strength. We still have a long way to go. The race is not finished yet. But God has been faithful to bring us this far. Remember Philippians 1:6. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You're going to finish this race through his grace. Let's pray as we sing.
contain that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Let's pray this morning. Let's thank God for His faithfulness. Let's thank Him for bringing us this far. And because He's brought us this far, He will take us to the end. Right? For I'm confident this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And we serve a faithful, faithful God. Doesn't mean that we don't encounter stuff, good and bad. But He's with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And He walks us through every valley of the shadow of death. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through chemotherapy. Let's really earnestly pray for God's healing over their lives and over their family. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for our church there, SPSG. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and the board and the leaders. Let's pray for Indonesia as well. Pray for SPIN. Pray for Pastor Selamat and the ministry here in Hong Kong. And let's lift up SP Seoul and our church plant. Pray for Eunsung and Janice that they would continue to build a team there. Well, let's just ask God's hand to be with our churches and these countries, and pray Holy Spirit would just release His power. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's lift up IP, the well, and the river. Let's pray for His anointing and protection, and pray for all the counseling sessions going on, that Holy Spirit would bring that healing word over their lives. So let's lift up our leaders and our counselors and prayer peoples. Let's lift up our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU. Pray for anointing. Pray for young people to encounter the Lord, and that they would really encounter and be touched by God. And pray for our staff, our volunteers, our leaders, and God would really use them and change them as they're serving. Pray for our outreaches tonight, SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide and bring divine appointments and His words that we could share with people. Pray for protection and pray that they would really be filled with God's energy to go and to be a light. Let's lift up House Church tonight, Elements and Olympic. Let's pray for Holy Spirit's power to flow. Let's pray for our leaders, our House Church leaders and our hosts, and that the presence of God would dwell in their homes and people would come face to face with the Lord tonight. Let's pray. And lastly, let's pray for our anniversary weekend. Let's pray for Pastor Rob. He's in the air right now. He's landing at 2 o'clock today. Let's pray for a safe, restful flight. Let's pray that God would fill him with words to share in the pulpit and also personally in ministry. Let's pray for our services on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday services. And Sunday night, let's also lift up our auction. I think it's going to be a wonderful time. Let's pray for a real spirit of generosity to really flow. Pray. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Lord, thank you that you are faithful. God, you're gracious. Lord, help us to always choose your best, God, and not just what looks good or seems right, Lord. Help us to always go before you, Lord, and hear your opinion on a matter, God, before we move and act, Father. And so I just want to thank you for these reminders this morning, God. Watch over us. Lord, I pray that your grace would fill us today, God, that we would go and we would be your light and salt in this world. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.